related to Grandma's wallets.
Thank you.
second one was what I was taught as chorus jig.
Oh, really?
I don't know how it's mixed up like that. Now John plays a chorus jig. It's all together.
Yeah.
Neither one of them
be more familiar.
Neither one of them are a jig.
Right.
Well, I'll bet the dulcimer players in here, especially after me spending last week making some hammers for some of them, would probably be interested in knowing what you use for hammers because they're really different.
Well, the shafts I make out of hacksaw blades.
Hacksaw?
What? Hacksaw.
Yeah, I shape them down so that I like to get just the right spring in there. Generally, the tempo that I play, I can get my double notes when I want them. You get just the right spring in your handle. It helps you to get those, what do you call them, triplets? The heads are a piece of white pine or redwood or something of that nature. And I've experimented with thickness till I got just the weight that I wanted. And then I've got it cushioned with a little piece of chamois or buckskin or something like that.
Did your grandfather use
a
metal?
Yeah, he for a long time used corset staves.
Hard to find.
Yeah, hard to find.
Be interesting to see how he got them.
Yeah. Probably the reason he got into a lot of trouble. Now, like I say, I've experimented with weights until.
Corset
staves. Corset.
What are they?
Still
You'll find out. Oh, girdle.
Underwear.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit fun, too.
Yeah, that was fun collecting. Taught me was we had two dulcimers. He'd sit by one and he'd play so much, and then I'd play that much, and then get through the whole tune, and after a while get so I could play the whole thing. That he started me out when I was about 10 years old, and so I've been playing it for a long time.
Is that his dulcimer too?
This is the last one that he was using, and he built this about 1930.
He built it himself, huh?
Yeah. He had two. He had another one that was built by Lyon and Healy Piano Company in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he left that one to me, and I gave that to my older brother. Because he plays better than I do.
Do you have any idea how it came through your family to this country, or how it got?
I don't think it came from the family. I don't think brought it from the old country. I think that my grandfather's brother picked it up. He's the one that started it, and then my grandfather, Jesse Martin, got it from him. His Uncle Albert was his older brother, and then Grandpa started playing from him.
Do you know what area they live in?
Yeah, okay. Chautauqua County, New York.
Is that upstate New York?
That's the southwest corner.
Right by the Pennsylvania border.
Yeah, Jamestown and around that area.
They used to have hammer dulcimer factories out there, I've heard.
Yeah, they did. There was at least two of them that I know of that made them commercial. But I've never run onto one, though, that they made. That seems strange, because I've been told that they sold a lot of them. But I've never run onto one.
I ran into one that was made in a factory in Brooklyn.
Yeah?
Yeah. They had all kinds of elaborate decals.
Uh-huh.
They had, and the strange thing about it is rather than a fifth across the bridge, it was a major second. So this would be, for instance, D, that would be E, that would be F sharp, G sharp.
Well, they could possibly do that.
I guess learning to play just like we learned to play on these, if that's all you had.
I mean, the bridge placement would be
like a whole step across.
Way
there.
Over in here somewhere.
Yeah, almost right down the center of the instrument.
Now this is tuned. Our tuning I found is a little different than like most tuned today. My bass is D. There's my D bass.
Right next to the note.
It's an octave.
Yeah, an octave. Bass D. Now when we get here, we tune this one to D. So it's handy to use in the key of G. Then it's B and then C. And I'm not gonna say that Grandpa started cutting this bridge down, but it's possible that he did because to relieve some of the strain on the instrument, and you very seldom use these bass notes up here because you got the same thing down here. But I suspect that they started that system to relieve some of the strain on the instrument.
Looks like it's had a little strain.
It's got strain on it.
Yeah, really.
Look, if you look at the soundboard, it goes like.
And you and never let that down. If you let the strain off of it, I did one time. I put all new wire on it. And it was 3 or 4 months before the tone came back to what it is now. It, you've got to have that tension on there to ring back to you. That's why if you build a new one and it don't sound good right away, why just hammer on it for about a year and let it dry out good, and you'll be surprised that the tone will really get better all the time. The more you play it, the better it is.
Looks like oak, yeah.
The end blocks are oak and the sides are cherry. And always for a sounding board, you use one of the evergreens, spruce or fir. They don't check as much as a hardwood or something like that. This one cracked on my grandfather one time, and you can see where he put a piece in there, right over that string. And it may be just my imagination, but that one don't seem to have the tone at the length. Here's one of my grandfather's tunes. It's a nice tune for listening to. I don't know the name of it.
Our piano player. to play guitar.
Niskanen Ramble is a tune that I wrote a year ago last spring. I went to the Niskayuna Festival out of Connecticut, New York. And I wrote this tune and called it the Niskayuna Ramble for the festival, and I kind of liked it there, so. Play it in G and D.
Niskayuna.
Niskayuna. It's the name of a town just outside of Connecticut. Saturday afternoon, I was walking down the school hall to go to a workshop, and there was a fella on one of the display dulcimers playing the Niskayuna Ramble already. So it wasn't my tune no more. Feel like putting it in place.
play in G.
All we have to do is shift it down. Play it. Should be able
to. No, I can't play it in G. The basic notes.
Right, it'll be easier to teach.
They could play it like this. Play this much. That's it. Yeah, do it. That's it.
Is anybody's dulcimer really out of tune with everybody else's? They can use mine if they want to. You want to use mine?
Tuned it this morning.
Playing it twice on each, which I think is all right too, don't you, John? Where's John? Did you desert me? Don't you think it's on that tune?
What's that?
Well, while they're learning just to play each part just once. What do you think?
Well, what do you think?
Let's see, if I play it...
Playing each part.
If you want to learn it then two times on each part, then you got to remember to, it might get a little monotonous for you, but if that's the way you, when you really get to playing it, it's better to play.
We're used to that.
We're all the time around here.
Okay, let's take you to do each part twice then, okay? You gotta go through that second part.
Down just
sure.
Just
yeah, for, like, I'll play some guitar.
Let's start at the beginning again. We're slower then, huh? Thank you. watch out for is don't get into a groove on that tempo because it's not the right tempo for a reel. When you get the note for you, you can pick the time up a little bit. Reel time should actually be. Four notes, two with each hand. So, can you just let your hammer kind of bounce off the string?
Yeah.
Let it bounce twice, but try to catch it on the second bounce. That's too fast. Just. That's it. Yeah. Now when you do them together, you just actually you're hitting this one and that one and this and that. See? Hit this one first, and when you let it bounce, you just hit this one just for... You gotta get it with the bounce of the pieces.
You bounce in the lower note too?
Yeah.
You bounce in the upper, lower, upper?
After the second bounce, I catch it so it don't hit the string. That's it. But you do it simultaneously, see? You're actually doing one bounce here and there and then here and there, see? Coming, yeah. Just do it like, and then take your hammers away. Yeah, right.
Are you doing
the bounce twice? Yeah, you actually start with this hand, but you go with this one, see? You're getting four notes. One left, one right, one right, one left, one right, and one left. See, like that. Yeah. That's it. Try it again now. Take your hammers right away after one bump.
Probably have
it too. Do it with one hand first, see? That'll come as you practice with it. Those things you develop.
Well, I can bounce it real fast.
Yeah, that's the idea. You got it. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Those things you develop as you play. You know,
a lot of people bounce them real fast and make sort of a trip or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's really nice. I don't think I heard that. Something done, quite that way.
Yeah.
You do it.
start here and go one above it, the next one down.
No.
Two bounces on each.
Yeah, but simultaneously, see? One note with the right one with the left one, and one with the right one with the left, see? When you learn it, you'll go, you almost hit them together, see? Just a little bit with your right one first. Go down with your right one, then with your left one. That's something that you'll develop as you, it's just a little technique that you'll develop as you play. The more you play, the more it'll develop for you, see? You gotta use the bounce off the strings and the bounce of your hammer, you know, a little bit together.
Of course, with our kind of hammers, we have to rely pretty much on the bounce of the strings and what we do with our hands. Because our hammers don't have a flex in them.
That's it. Just twice, then away. But then you do it, you come down like this, see? Yeah, you got it. That's it. Come down with your right one, then your left one. See? Go like that. Another bounce. Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's something that you can use quite a lot.